Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Tuesday to you out there. I hope you've gotten through another day, regardless of where you're at and what the circumstances are, that you can go ahead and keep pushing. We've had a busy day, past 2 days in sports. If you've missed me, you can always find me online on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on all social media at JR Sport Brief, where I am extremely active. As always, I want to talk to you throughout this show. You can call me up, 855-212-4CBS. We will be rocking for the next 4 hours. And this is what you can expect every single weekday, starting up at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. I am right here with the JR Sport Brief. Me chatting with you, you chatting back with me, chatting with each other, having a good old time in conversation. And today's show, it's going to be real interesting. Shout outs to my main man, Stu, on the other side running this situation. But earlier this morning, I woke up, like a lot of people, that Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls documentary, The Last Dance, it got pushed up like we all wanted it to. It's going to drop on April 19th. It's going to run for 5 weeks. So every single Sunday night starting on April 19th, you need to be locked into your television, okay? Because no doubt that's what we will be talking about every Monday after that. What else we got going on in the show today? NBA 2K. We don't have real basketball, so what is 2K doing? Along with the NBA and the Players Association, we're going to see some of the top ballers. I'm talking Kevin Durant, Trae Young, and going on down the list. They're going to have a live tournament on ESPN starting on Friday. Yes, NBA players will be playing video games because we cannot watch them play in person. The NFL, they officially voted to expand the playoffs. We're going to talk about that. We have NFL draft expert Chris Chipasso. He's going to be joining in. Yesterday, I told you an interesting story about Kobe Bryant and, you know, his towel from his final game in 2016 selling for $30,000. Yes, Kobe's sweat rag sold for $30,000, the sweat rag of a legend. So we're going to talk to Les Wolf. He's a collector. He's a professional memorabilia guy. He knows everything you need to know about collecting and making money, and he has some interesting opinions about it. So those are all things that we are going to talk about today. Today is also a special day for me. It's also a bittersweet day for me. You know, I woke up this morning, didn't give it any type of thought, but today is the 11-year anniversary when I started JR Sport Brief. Yes, a round of applause to myself. I will do that. 11 years ago, I was in my bedroom in New York City in the Bronx, and I took a dusty camera and put it on a shoebox, and I put myself on the internet, and I started talking about sports. 11 years later, I did not think that I would be in Atlanta right here with you all on CBS Sports Radio. And if there's one thing, and it's a nice reminder for me, I don't go back and look at that video. There's a big difference between what I was saying and how I was saying it 11 years ago versus now. A big difference. But if there's one thing that has stayed constant, and I've been here with you on the air for about a week, and I think I can do a good job in saying that the past 11 years have always been about community, and every day of my life will be about community. Whether it is professionally facing, where I talk to you all, or personally facing, where I may talk to you out on the street, it's all about community. And so I actually want to play this clip. If you want to see the video, it's on my Instagram, at JR Sport Brief. It's on my Twitter, at JR Sport Brief. 11 years ago, exactly 11 years ago, I sat in my bedroom and I said this. Listen. Hey, what's going on, YouTube? You are watching JR Sports Brief. Now, if you don't know what that is, basically, all we're going to do here is we're going to talk sports.
I'm going to talk sports with you guys, and you guys are going to talk back.
It's really that simple. And 11 years later, that still holds to be the case. Now, there were 6 minutes of that video, and my first video was encouraging Gary Sheffield to retire after he was released by the Detroit Tigers. And, you know, lucky for me, I actually met Gary Sheffield, and I told him that, and I said, bro, do you forgive me? And he said, yes. He was like, yeah, man, that's perfectly fine. So I'm happy to be here with you. I'm happy to be discussing community. I'm happy to be talking about what's going on in the sports world where we don't necessarily have live sports. And what I want to say to you all, especially in this time, it's difficult for me. I'm thrilled about having 11 years and what I've done. But it's not easy to celebrate in the space and the world that we currently live in. You know, where unfortunately people are at home, you know, it's tough. People are getting sick. People are worried about where that next check is going to come from. You know, people are dying. You know, it's difficult to go about a full celebration when we really think about what a whole lot of people are going through. So in that regard, this is a bittersweet moment. But what I can say is that when you think about sports, as we are here on the CBS Sports Network, we're going to talk about sports. I'm going to tell you about the NFL owners and the expanded playoffs. I'm going to tell you about something that's going to be on Nickelodeon that you wouldn't think is going to be there. But ultimately, sports is a microcosm of life. And you don't have to be a sports fan to realize that or pick that up or understand it. Sports comes with strategy. Sports is a thinking man's game or woman's game, person's game. Sports is something that we use our physical abilities to fight, strategize, and battle through. So whether it's a matter of being 4 and 5 years old and your first exposure to teamwork and accountability for a lot of people comes via sports. Winning and losing, understanding that not everything in life is going to go your way, can be taught through sports. Passing the ball, learning how to be a good teammate. There are so many elements of sports that necessarily and really permeate throughout all of life. How we react, not necessarily with our own teams, but the teams that are across from us, having sportsmanship, knowing when to let up, knowing when to give, knowing when things go beyond the game and to lend that helping hand when someone hits the ground, knowing when to pause, knowing when to continue, knowing when to fight. You know, the human body is a beautiful thing, a physical thing. You know, you can push your body to the limits and you will feel the pain, and that pain will let you know, hey, you're really pushing me right now. I don't know how much more I have to give. And then at the same time, that pain lets you know that there's more there, that you're capable of doing a little bit more and pushing yourself. And unfortunately, in today, March 31st, 2020, we're in a spot as human beings that, you know, you only thought about in the movies, whether it was Outbreak or, I Am Legend or whatever movie that you've seen, where things can be quiet. And we can be isolated and we can be by ourselves and we can be scared and we can be worried. But at the end of the day, you're still here. You know, keep fighting. Don't give up. Things can and will get better regardless of the immediate results around you. Sometimes you have to realize whether you're in the ring or whether you're on the field. You know, we don't know how long those four quarters are going to last. We don't know how long we are going to be in that boxing ring before we win the fight. We don't know if that knockout is coming in the sixth round. We don't know if we're going to win via decision. We don't know how it's going to end. But the point is, you get another round. You get a few extra minutes. You have time to prepare. So while you have that time, make the most of it. Don't quit. Don't give up because it doesn't feel good at that moment. Don't give up because it's strenuous. Don't give up because you don't necessarily know the end result. Because I'm pretty sure that you've been punched before. You've fallen down before. You've got hit. You got knocked down. You didn't feel good one day. You felt great one day. And a lot of times we have to build off of what went well and what felt good and go ahead and continue on that to go ahead to ultimately win the game and ultimately go ahead and win the fight. So I can tell you, you know, after 11 years of doing JR Sport Brief, I am thrilled, sports or no sports, to be here with each and every single one of you tonight, whether you're hearing my voice for the first time or whether you've kept up with me for the past 11 years, that we are strong when it comes down to community and that we will continue to be strong regardless of how you are feeling or what issues you face right now at this moment. You know, the fight ain't over and it continues on. So on that note, it is bittersweet, but I am thrilled to be here with you tonight. I look forward to continuing to build community as it's something that we all need to continue to do in every element of our lives, especially right now. So having said that, I'm happy for 11 years and we are going to keep on rolling. One of the big stories of today is obviously the NFL, the only semblance of sports that we have right now as the NBA gets ready to play video games on Friday. And I have some questions on you, for you all on that. I know a lot of people stream, some people don't get down with it, but watching Kevin Durant play video games on ESPN isn't something I necessarily thought would ever happen. But the NFL playoffs have expanded, all right? We're going to move to 3 wild card teams per conference, up from 2. This is going to be the first playoff expansion since 1990. Yes, okay? If I can do math correctly, and I think this is even math, that is 30 years since the NFL last expanded its playoffs. The number 2 seed in each conference will host the new number 7 seed in the wild card round. And so this basically means only the number 1 seeds are going to have a first round bye. And this is also an interesting element. The games are going to be on Nickelodeon. These new games will be broadcast on Nickelodeon with a special grouping and a special, graphics, a special announcer just for children. So if you want to lock your child or children in a room and have them watch football on Nickelodeon, then by all means do that. I'm pretty sure they'll have Nick Cannon on the screen accompanied by SpongeBob. You know, I'll stick to the adult version while I watch my newly found 8-8 terrible mediocre team, take on that number 2 seed who will probably wipe them out. So we had that discussion yesterday. But one thing that is actually going to continue on is the NFL draft for right now. And then yesterday I told you about Mr. Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons, saying, you know what, I think we may have games in an empty stadium or empty stadiums later on this year. And we've had more executives come out today after we found out the playoffs would be expanded that actually, you know, NFL owners now are saying that they believe, you know, things as of right now will continue business as usual. And that includes the NFL draft, which is still slated to get started on April 23rd and last through April 25th. You know, a lot of these NFL draftees, they are not able to go and train. They're not able to meet with the teams. The general managers, in my opinion, they finally chilled out and they've come to the rest of the world and understanding that you got to make use, the best use of what's going on right now in the world instead of complaining about what you can't do. Because there's a lot of things a lot of us cannot do right now. So the GMs have finally accepted that. And when we come back after the break, I'm going to talk to Chris Trapasso. Excuse me, Chris. Chris is going to slap me for mispronouncing his name. He's the CBS Sports NFL draft expert. He knows everything about the draft. I want to ask Chris, basically, you know, how is this going to affect players, this current situation with no mini camps? I want to ask him about hidden gems in the draft. We always hear about the, you know, Tua Tagovailoa. We hear about Joe Burrow, Herbert. I want to know who else is in the draft. And then we've been hearing a lot about wide receivers. Like if your team needs a wide out, this is the year for it. Chris Trapasso is going to come through and basically break it down. It's 11 years of JR Sport Brief, and I'm glad to be celebrating with you all right here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, you can hit them up 24/7. RocketMortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I'm going to be here with you for the next 4 hours. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NFL draft with Chris Trapasso. He is our draft expert for CBS Sports. It's the JR Sport Brief here with you on CBS Sports Radio. It's the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. The NFL is keeping us alive, or at least the fact that the NFL draft is still scheduled to take place starting at the end of April. And we know we have general managers who aren't happy, potential draftees who may be behind the eight ball. So I had to bring on our expert CBS Sports NFL draft writer, Chris Trapasso, to come on and basically break it down. Chris, how are you holding up?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
No doubt about it. I guess, first of all, the first question is, how are the general managers feeling? We know a lot of them felt that they weren't going to be able to make the proper assessments, but Roger Goodell is telling them, tough luck. Everybody has to deal with our current world. How are the GMs dealing with this right now?
Yeah, they certainly don't feel like this is the ideal scenario, and it's not really the ideal situation for anybody in this country today. But the last point that you made, I think, is a good one, that there was some initial pushback. The entire GMs voted and said that they wanted a pushback, but the league is obviously going ahead with the NFL draft starting on April 23rd. And at this point, the general managers are realizing and are just fully accepting that everyone is in the same boat with not being able to have the top 30 visits as normal and just everything being digitally based with being able to FaceTime or Skype with these prospects instead of meeting them, not having pro days. We're all in the same boat here, so I think that's kind of why there hasn't been a lot of criticism since the NFL decided about a week ago that they were definitely going to still have the draft on April 23rd.
We see quarterbacks like Tua Tagovailoa trying to show off from his hip injury that he's healthy, putting up 10-second videos as his best bet. Are there any other players that are going to be highly effective by not having a full draft evaluation process?
Yeah, just any of the other guys that are in a similar boat to Tua Tagovailoa in that they're either coming off an injury or they had a long injury history in college. Laviska Shenault, the wide receiver from Colorado, had pretty significant injuries the past two seasons. He decided to run it at the combine and only ran 4.58, which even at a bigger size, and he is a more stocky wide receiver, it's not necessarily first round wide receiver type of speed. He was probably going to lean on his pro day at Colorado to improve on that time, and now he's not going to be able to. There's Tagovailoa's teammate Terrell Lewis, an edge rusher that dealt with a lot of injuries. A really good offensive guard from Fresno State, Netani Muti, that's had two significant injuries, an Achilles and his shoulder in college, that was probably going to get medically rechecked throughout this pre-draft process, meeting with teams and their individual doctors, and they're not going to be able to do that. So I think beyond the small school players who obviously are not going to be able to work out at a pro day to put themselves on the radar.
Right.
Among the early picks, any of the players, like I mentioned, along with Tua Tagovailoa, that have or are going into this draft with a significant injury history.
Got you. We're on the line with Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports NFL draft writer. Now, we know that there are going to be several players, especially, like you said, from smaller schools, who aren't going to be able to increase their stock and show off. How is this actually going to affect these draftees' onboarding? I mean, these are our college athletes getting drafted into the NFL. There's not necessarily going to be mini camps. There may not be rookie camps. How is this going to affect their actual onboarding and possibly play when we finally do get football back?
Well, I think a lot of NFL teams right now are kind of operating under the assumption that some of these, especially later third, fourth, fifth round picks beyond the first couple rounds, that some of these players, more so than any other season, it's going to take them a little bit longer to acclimate. And that is beyond the draft actually taking place, that NFL GMs are always trying to look far ahead, whether it be the next year's draft, next year's free agent period, to see how they need to build their roster today. And the them looking forward beyond the draft, they're wondering, like what you just pointed out, that will they have NFL rookie minicamps? Will they have OTAs? Or will they just be pushed back a couple months? Fortunately for the NFL, usually June and July is kind of the dead period where teams and players are off and you can kind of go on vacations before training camp. That might get eaten into. So as long as they have those rookie minicamps and OTAs, I think teams will feel a little bit better with, like you're saying, onboarding them into the NFL, which is even a lot different from the best conferences in college football.
Absolutely. I also want to ask you about, we've obviously heard for months now, it's that it's a foregone conclusion that Joe Burrow is going to get selected number one by the Bengals. More recently, you know, and whether it's because we don't have a whole lot to talk about or there aren't live sports, there have been conversations about trades in those early spots, whether the Bengals will get overwhelmed, whether or not the Miami Dolphins want to move around the Giants. When you think about the top of the current draft board, are things pretty much status quo, or can you see a big trade going down where someone tries to slide down to get one of these top quarterbacks?
I think there will be at least one big trade inside the top five in this draft. And with Tua Tagovailoa, like you mentioned, posting those videos, for as menial as they might seem, I mean, that is the best thing for him to do, to show everyone, including teams, and everyone's tracking Twitter and Instagram in the modern age, to show them that his hip injury is progressing and he is close to 100%. I do not think the Miami Dolphins, sitting at number five overall, will be able to just wait and not move and get Tua Tagovailoa to fall into their lap. So whether they need to move up to number two with the Washington Redskins or number three with the Detroit Lions or maybe the L.A. Chargers, sitting right behind the Dolphins, want to leapfrog them, I think there will at least be one trade. I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals will move out of number one overall, but I will say this. With the Dolphins, how much they've rebuilt and how much extra draft capital they have 14 picks in this draft. They have two first-round picks next year and two second-round picks. If there was ever a team that could afford trading from number five overall to trading all the way up to number one, it is this iteration of the Miami Dolphins. So I don't think it'll happen, but like you mentioned, the Cincinnati Bengals could get blown away by a trade proposal, and I think the only team that could do that and offer them something that would make them be willing to move out of that top pick is coming from the Miami Dolphins. But we will see at least one, maybe two, big trades inside the top 10, most likely centered around Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa.
Ooh, let's see. Chris Trapasso's on the line, CBS Sports NFL draft writer. He says that we're going to most likely or more than likely see a big trade and that those top five picks. Who is a player, a quarterback, that people aren't paying attention to? We hear about Burrow. We hear about Tagovailoa. We know that you can get a quarterback later in the draft who can be better ultimately than those two. So is there anybody who's probably hiding in the cut right now that we should be aware of?
I don't know if there's any quarterback that is slated to go fourth, fifth, sixth round that I see as, you know, a Dak Prescott or a Tom Brady or even a Russell Wilson who went in the third round. But among these top quarterbacks, I think the one passer that we're not talking about that we need to be is Jacob Eason from Washington.
Ooh.
That he was a top recruit, went to Georgia, played as a true freshman, and was outstanding. He got injured very early into his season there. Jake Fromm took over and ultimately never gave back the job. He transfers to Washington and had a pretty good season last year for the Huskies. He's 6'6". He has an absolute cannon for an arm. He's actually pretty accurate. It's just under pressure, he's not really keen at getting off his first read or knowing how to drift inside the pocket. I think he has first-round quarterback traits and ability, and that after Justin Herbert's gone and even Jordan Love from Utah State, he's kind of been labeled as the sleeper, we can't forget about maybe a team trading from the second round back into the first to get Jacob Eason, to get that fifth-year option, because although he's probably not ready to start right now, down the stretch, in the future, he can be one of the better pocket passers in the league because his talent, his natural raw ability is absolutely through the roof.
Absolutely. We've also heard that this a draft is going to be wide receiver rich, starting off with a CeeDee Lamb and a Jerry Jeudy. Any team that needs a receiver, are they going to be able to just get one this year?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it seems like that's too easy, especially when it comes to how competitive the NFL draft is. But this wide receiver class is that top level and deep, that you can get top level talent, like you mentioned, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, even Judy's teammate Henry Ruggs, who ran 4.27, had a 40-plus inch vertical. He's absolutely explosive, scored 25 touchdowns on 100 touches at Alabama. That is crazy touchdown production.
Yeah.
Whether you're throwing him a screen, a go route, an end around, a jet sweep, he's the type of player that is really excelling in the modern-day NFL. I'm not going to call him the next Tyreek Hill, but he's similar type of player that just changes the complexity of what you can do on offense because of his speed. There's T. Higgins from Clemson, Justin Jefferson from LSU, Denzel Mims from Baylor. That's had an awesome pre-draft process, was outstanding at the Senior Bowl, had the best combine workout of any pass catcher. Jalen Reagor from TCU, he had over a 40-inch vertical, had a crazy broad jump, super fast down the field, smaller player, very electric after the catch. So there's six or seven wide receivers right there. And then the depth into the third, fourth, and even fifth round, when usually second or third round it caps off and you're really looking at bottom of the roster players after that, there will be fourth and fifth rounders that will look back in a couple years and wonder why they were picked so late. That's how good at the top and on day three of the draft this wide receiver class is.
Hey, if your team needs a wide receiver, this is the year for it. Chris Trapasso's on the line, CBS Sports NFL draft writer. I appreciate you dropping this knowledge. I have a feeling we're going to be talking a whole lot more. I hope that we keep the draft. We've had a lot of changes, but Chris, I'm hoping it stays the same.
Yeah, I think it will, just because they can do everything just in a studio setting. And I think, yeah, I'm with you that I think this country needs that, especially all the sports lovers out there. And though it's not ideal for the teams, like we said earlier, every team is in the same boat. And I think everything logistically can still be carried out and run smoothly over those 3 days in late April.
Got it. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports NFL draft writer. Where can people keep up with you online?
I'm on Twitter at Chris Trapasso, or just go to cbssports.com/NFL/draft.
Chris has all of the information. I don't know how he stores all of that in his brain, but he knows a little bit about everybody and everything going on in the NFL draft. So we're definitely going to have Chris back on. Thank you for that. And it was real interesting to hear Chris talk about all of the quarterbacks that are also going to be available. Nobody's talking about Eason. You know, I mean, granted, Jake Fromm had that job at Georgia. But even when I look at Jake Fromm, I've always looked at him as like a backup. He's not all that athletic. Granted, this past season, he didn't necessarily have the wide receivers to throw to. Mecole Hardman goes out to Kansas City and wins a Super Bowl his first year with the Chiefs. So he didn't necessarily have the same type of weapons. But whether it's an Eason, a Tagovailoa, you know, the list goes on and on. Obviously, first you think about Joe Burrow. So there's a lot of different options when you think about quarterback. And we know this upcoming season, you know, the NFL executives can say, hey, we're expecting a full season. I think a lot of teams are pretty much kind of resigned to where they are and that they may want to go ahead and give Trevor Lawrence a run. There are a lot of teams in the NFL right now who at some point in time, even if they're not super thrilled at quarterback, they might have somebody. And then you have teams that are like, okay, they're going to be running through several quarterbacks over the next several years until they have an established one. The Jaguars, I mean, the Chargers, if they don't sign Cam Newton, You have the Bears. I mean, Nick Foles. Is Nick Foles all that exciting to sign in case a Mitch Trubisky falls apart? The Dolphins, obviously, and their million draft picks that they can basically throw around everywhere. You get rid of Minka Fitzpatrick. You get rid of a Tunsil. The Dolphins have more draft picks than anybody. Are these teams that are basically going to just kind of shrug their shoulders at this season? And should they? What team needs a quarterback the most? And is Trevor Lawrence going to be the guy everybody wants? And don't forget, the New England Patriots are also out there. They are a team that who knows who they're going to have at quarterback this upcoming season. Is it time for NFL teams to basically lay down for a quarterback this upcoming season and try to get Trevor Lawrence? I think a lot of teams are kind of just waiting things out right now. When we come back, that's exactly what we are going to talk about, and then we're going to take your calls, 855-212-4CBS. What NFL team needs a quarterback the most? It's the JR Sport Brief here on CBS Sports Radio. That's right, it's the JR Sport Brief here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I like that little beat in the background. If I can't do it, it can't be done. And that's the most singing you're going to get out of me. We're talking about the NFL. Hopefully the draft is still on its way. The NFL owners and Roger Goodell say yes. The NFL executives say yes, we're planning for a postseason. And in that last break, thank you so much for Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports NFL draft expert, for calling in and breaking down the NFL draft. Yes, it's going to be a little bit different than past years. With the executives not being able to see the draftees and it's like preparing for a test. I said this last week. If you don't study, if you're not ready, you can't cram at the end. You may actually be able to find out who's doing the work and preparing and who wasn't, because everybody's on the same playing field. Not every GM, no GM is getting a special big book on the draft prospects. You've had to compile that big book yourself. You've had to do your job. And now, because there are certain elements of the evaluation process that you don't have at your disposal, you want to complain? No. If you're prepared, you don't sweat it. You're ready to go. You studied. You're not up the night before, you know, trying to practice questions or trying to do a practice test. You are ready to go. Now, having said that, I still think with this upcoming draft, we know there's a lot of wide receivers. Chris broke it down. There are a lot of quarterbacks, and there are also a lot of NFL teams who will need a quarterback. And I also think there's going to be a lot of teams who are just going to coast through this season with whatever quarterback they can get their hands on, and then possibly try to reevaluate things again. You know, when I look at the Washington Redskins, and I see Ron Rivera coming in on his own and having his own situation, I don't necessarily think he's going to keep status quo, but with the quarterback position. You know, when I think about a team like the Dolphins, they have Fitzpatrick and Rosen. I don't necessarily think that they're just going to keep both of those guys. Are they going to draft somebody this year? I absolutely hope so. But then you also have to remember in the back of your head, Trevor Lawrence is coming out. So there's a lot of options here from hopeless teams, in my opinion. Am I confident that the Jaguars are going to stick with Minshew? Is Foles going to stick with Trubisky, with the Bears? Is that going to be the quarterback tandem that helps them win a Super Bowl? Let's be realistic here. What NFL team out there needs a quarterback the most? That's what we are taking your calls about right now. The lines are open. I need you to call right now. The Geico line is sponsored, or the line is sponsored by Geico. It doesn't matter whether you own or rent. Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It is easy. And what's that number? 855-212-4CBS. Which NFL team needs a quarterback the most? 855-212-4CBS. We're going to go ahead and start hitting the line right now. We got Jordan from Dallas on the line. And let's go ahead and take a listen to what Jordan has to say. Jordan, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's going on with you?
Just heading home, man, in the big DFW. But I heard you talk about Trevor Lawrence earlier, and I feel kind of guilty because I haven't paid a lot of attention to this year's draft, and usually I have a lot of attention on it. I know it's a big receiver draft. I've actually met T. Higgins. He's one of my cousin's best friends. I think he's a great guy, and he's going to do well in the NFL. But I mainly want to talk about the quarterback position in Trevor Lawrence next year. And a team that really needs a quarterback that I think that should hold out this year, I would like to see the Chargers, you know, bring somebody in and draft Trevor Lawrence. I'm a Cowboy fan, man, and I would hate to see him in the NFC East because I really like the guy. He's a class act, and he's a great quarterback, and he's going to be the next Tom, Peyton, Joe, that type of name. He has that kind of caliber, that kind of stature, and he loves to play the game. And I just think that he's going to do great in the NFL, but I would hate to see him in the NFC East.
You're putting Trevor Lawrence already in the category of being the next Tom Brady and the next Peyton Manning?
I'm saying some quarterback caliber, yes. I mean, if you look at Peyton's numbers and Trevor Lawrence's numbers, Trevor Lawrence has lost one game in his entire career. You know, and he's coming back next year. The guy's 6'6", what, 240 pounds, 230 pounds, something like that.
And, okay, and I mean, we can look at size. Sure. Okay. I thank you so much, Jordan. I agree with you.
I mean, no, he has a lot to prove. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's not there yet. But I'm saying overall caliber right now from where he's at a college standpoint and what he's coming into, the guy's already playing like a pro system quarterback, and I just think that he's going to excel once he hits the league. Very similar to Andrew Luck, who unfortunately ended his career very early.
That I get and understand. Thank you for calling up Jordan now to Dallas. No, I agree. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a tremendous prospect. You don't throw for what he did last year. I believe he went for about 30 touchdowns and six interceptions. He threw for about 3,900 yards, 3,600 yards. He did his thing last year. Actually, he threw for 36 touchdowns, eight interceptions, and 3,600 yards. And the only thing that basically stopped Trevor Lawrence happened to be LSU, who just ran roughshod over everybody last season. But the year before, it was Clemson's turn, and they put Alabama down. A lot of people were happy to see Alabama go ahead and take that L. And Trevor Lawrence has shown that, A, he has the size, B, he has the mobility, he can hack it in tough situations. You know, there's something to be said for a quarterback who can perform in the big spot. There's something to be said about a quarterback who can go ahead and win a national championship. You know, Cam Newton showed that he's a winner. You know, Cam Newton went out. He's someone that immediately comes to mind, and he's going to be looking to show again that he's a winner. He proved in the NFL he can win an MVP and go ahead and take a team to the Super Bowl. You know, these are the type of quarterbacks, whether it's a Cam Newton or whether it's a Trevor Lawrence, these are the type of quarterbacks that you're looking for. Because the reality of the situation is most teams in the NFL, when you think about 32 squads, you start going, you know, half of these quarterbacks, they stink. There's no other better way to say it. You know, maybe there's 8 or 9 or 10 quarterbacks who you look at and say, okay, we're going to win. But the rest of the quarterbacks you just look at and say, I hope we win. And then you have some quarterbacks, so you go, this guy's just absolutely going to throw the game away from us, okay? So I don't know which direction you're going to go in, but we have to look at the calendar here when it comes down to quarterbacks. First of all, we have to get through the NFL draft. We have a nice pool of quarterbacks in the NFL draft. Whether you're talking about a Herbert, whether you're talking about a Love who everybody's excited about now and drools over and thinks about a Pat Mahomes, and you know, he just needs to be reined in a little bit from being a gunslinger. You have him, you have the obvious and Tagovailoa. You know, every quarterback seemingly has a few question marks. It's understood. These are quarterbacks. Nobody in the draft is necessarily a sure shot. Maybe Chase Daniels is the best sure shot. I think Andrew Thomas, if you're selecting him on an offensive line, I think he's a sure shot. You know, Joe Burrow, we can look at him and just lighting it up for 60 touchdowns last year. He's a great prospect. Is he a sure shot by going to Cincinnati? Do we trust the Cincinnati Bengals to actually put together a system for him that's going to be conducive to winning? I mean, he had to dictate that they don't move AJ Green. This is the reality of it. And this is why you have some teams who continue to just swim in the toilet. You know, do the New York Jets, what are they doing with Sam Darnold? Are you going to A, protect Sam Darnold? Are you B, going to give him weapons that are actually going to help him succeed? And then you even look at the coaching situation. Some teams can't just ever get their lives together. Some teams, and it starts at the tops, or starts at the top. You look at the Washington Redskins, they have Haskins in. You select Haskins at quarterback in the draft last season, and then you bring in a whole new head coach. Who's to say that Ron Rivera even wants him, and now you wasted a pick? There's some teams that can't get out of their own way. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a prime example. It's a team who's in that finally gets back to the playoffs and then implodes under their old school president in Tom Coughlin, who actually racks up sanctions against him and fines because of how he treats the players in the organization. And now guess where the Jaguars are back at right now? Trying to figure out where they want to go and what they can do at the quarterback position, and even as a franchise. Some of these NFL teams cannot get out of their own way. When we come back, we got some Michael Jordan stuff coming on, and also 2K. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.